Well, I can eat 9 pancakes, large pancakes, in 1 hour. Big, very large pancakes. Now, yes, thank you. When I agreed to do the soup storytelling series on the 7 deadly sins, I didn't know what sin I was going to be given, but stereotypically they give the fat guy gluttony. I should have known. Anyways, so I started doing research on all of the sins. I figured I might as well be prepared. So I went and gambled. I went and, for greed, obviously, I went and slept about a week straight. I went and envied houses in Mount Washington and thought, oh, wouldn't that be nice to live in that big house again? I went sexing, I think is what they call it, for lust. I picked a fight, and I joined a gym for pride, and I entered the Pete's Grill pancake eating contest. So I didn't start out as a semi-professional eater. I have had stints of sort of bets with a friend of mine in high school. We used to, you know, see who could drink the most milk in a half an hour, or the most mustard, or the Little Tavern. I don't know if you all remember that place. We used to have see who could eat the most hamburgers, actually. And I was planning on eating 7 hot dogs in 7 minutes here tonight on stage in front of all of you, but Jessica thought that might be a little too risque. So next time. And I didn't, I wasn't always a friend of food, and food wasn't always a friend of me. I actually grew up an emaciated child in Alaska, of all places, in the Great Frozen North. I think it was all that shivering. It burns a lot of calories. I really wouldn't eat. It was almost biblical. My father, a Jewish man, worked a lot, didn't cook. My mother, a shiksa, that's a non-Jewish woman marrying a Jew. Anyways, she worked a lot as well and was a poor cook. I don't even think she knows how to make pancakes, actually. Her favorite kitchen appliance is scissors, closely followed by the can opener. So, you know, reconstituting and just heating up was considered cooking in my youth in Alaska. Now, Alaska, I didn't grow up, you know, in an igloo. I didn't catch my dinner either. You know, we lived in Anchorage. It was a metropolitan area. We had a Carr's grocery store that we would shop at. It was a local supermarket chain. And, you know, and cuisine in Alaska is pretty strange. The local cuisine, native cuisine, there's Eskimo ice cream. Do you all know what that is? That's a frozen whale blubber with blueberries in it mixed in. So, you know, I really didn't eat very well. I didn't have an appreciation for food. Another thing about Alaskan food is back in the 70s and 80s, Alaska was a lot farther away than it is today. It's true. It's gotten a lot closer. And the you'd go to the grocery store and food would be old. And you can tell by the expiration date, but for me as a child, the way I could tell is like Captain Crunch. You know, the toy that they would be giving away would be from Empire Strikes Back. But, you know, Return of the Jedi is already out in theaters, you know. So that cereal and that toy is at least 18 months to 2 years old. And they're still pushing it on the shelves in Alaska. Now, again, biblically thin, rail thin. I mean, it's hard to... I should have brought a picture. And my parents even encouraged me to eat with a mantra, if you will, or a chant. They would use it at the breakfast, lunch, dinner, whenever, out with friends, great. So we're out at a restaurant and I'm refusing to eat, and their chant is, "Chew, Sam, swallow, Sam, take another bite, Sam." Well, I guess it finally worked, but I think that you know, it was a change in attitude, but it was also a change in latitude that really made me help me appreciate food or become into my gluttony, if you will. We moved to Baltimore when I was 8 years old, and I became Jewish, sort of, because there's no Jews in Alaska, or there's very few Jews in Alaska. And I had grandparents and uncles and aunts and all kinds of family members here that ate and appreciated eating, and it was a part of the culture and a part of the tradition of Judaism. And, you know, I learned to love tongue and brisket and simis and gefilte fish and matzo ball soup and latkes. You know what those are, right? Those are potato pancakes. I mean, I can easily eat 20 potato pancakes. They're a lot smaller. And actually, my goal at Pete's pancake eating contest was to eat 20. The local record is 16, but I was like 20. I was thinking logically about it. I'm like, one every 3 minutes. I can do that. I had my iPhone, like Laura has her little timer there, timing me on my speed, on my story. And I was like, I was timing them. I made it through the first three. Anyways. So, you know, I didn't keep kosher, you know, I don't keep kosher still. I'm still very fond of all kinds of animals cooked in their mother's milk. I dig it. It's very good. No, you know, separating of milk and meat, bacon, all of it is good to go. Anyways, one of my biggest crossroads in my path of gluttony came about when I was 12, and I my parents opened up a local business here in Baltimore. It was a bagel shop on Cold Spring Lane in Roland Park, and they named it after me. Yeah, Sam's Bagels. And so that would be like the Minnesota Vikings having the team mascot being like a thin blonde guy with a wispy mustache. You know, no, a Viking is big, and so a bagel guy, you know, live up to that. And so I ate a lot of bagels. It's like the most stereotypically gluttonous, high-gluten food, Jewish food there is, and I lived it and loved it. And I earned my keep, though. I used to bake from the age of about 13 on. I would go in the summers and bake bagels at 3 a.m. Anyways, and, you know, one of my sort of treats after baking bagels from 3 to 7 when the stores opened is I would have access to a kitchen, a full deli kitchen. And this is really where I became a true gourmand or glutton, whichever definition you want to use. Or I would take a freshly baked jalapeno bagel and put some cream cheese on there and then slice a tomato, maybe some sprouts. Definitely Swiss, definitely Munster, definitely tuna. Definitely bacon, definitely turkey, ham sometimes, and then roast beef, and then some honey mustard. It was like a Dagwood thing, but on a bagel, so it was a Samwood. It's a big sandwich. Learned how to eat that way. Nowadays, I've sort of learned to control some of my gluttony, although I do have a fantastic partner in life named Alethea Kirk, and she has a great access to some fabulous fine dining around town, and she takes me out a couple nights a week, and I really get to enjoy Baltimore, not just bagel shops. And but, you know, I'm still joining, you know, keeping up with the gym that I joined for Pride. That was your doing there. And you know, because you can't have steak every night. You gotta, you know, temper that a bit. And it's how to conclude this? Are my 5 minutes up yet? Oh, okay. Too bad. I still have more to go. So this pancake eating contest. I mean, I'm working my way. I get through the first three in 9 minutes. Now the next three takes about 18 minutes. So I'm off my pace. And then the following three, to put me at 9, took another, what's the math on that, another 33 minutes. And I was proud of myself for doing it, for sort of facing that gluttony head on, if you will. And, you know, purposefully going about attempting to be a glutton. And it was really a learning experience. And the person that won was a the men's winner ate 14 pancakes, thin, real thin guy, you know, and he could power some pancakes. And then the girls' winner, the ladies' women winner, the women's winner was 5'0", maybe 100 pounds. And she ate 13 pancakes. So I couldn't even out-eat this 100-pound college student. I mean, she had lots of practice, I guess, drinking water. But in conclusion, since Jessica likes to ring the bell, let's raise our drink. Whatever you have left, and to eating for to live, but the Jews say l'chaim. So everybody l'chaim.